Awesome. So, good morning, everyone. It is an absolute pleasure to be able to come to talk to you this morning. For those of you who don't know, my name is Anna. I'm one of the Moreland students, as we've said. I'm in my third year, and I'm from Reading. I know lots of people from the church are from Reading, so if you're from there, woo! So I'm doing the first part of this talk, and then Kirsty is going to come and follow me after I've spoken, because we're kind of tag team in it. So now, right. So many of you might have read in the signpost this week the name of our talk. You might not. So the name of our talk this week is "Write Your Plans in Pencil and Give God the Eraser." It's quite an interesting title, isn't it? So you might have been quite struck by this title, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of background behind its inspiration. So in my first year at Moreland, I was sat doing some Bible calligraphy, and I decided to look to the internet for some random ideas of what I could possibly draw. And as I was sat scrolling through the internet, looking at Pinterest, looking at all these pictures, I suddenly found one that really caught my eye, and it was because of its utter simplicity. And it read, "Write your plans in pencil and give God the eraser." Straight away, God just struck a chord in me. He was like, this is so important. And so much so that I had to write it down in my Bible. It's right there. And sure enough, every time I see it, it challenges me in new ways every single time. But anyway, the other day, me and Kirsty were sat wondering what on earth we wanted to preach on. We'd been given this amazing opportunity, and we didn't know quite what we wanted to preach on. So we were sat there talking, and then Kirsty mentioned how God had recently put on her heart the idea of his plan and what is his plan for her life. And we were both really interested, so we started looking into this topic, and we opened up our Bibles. And directly on the page in front of me was the words clear as day, "Write your plans in pencil and give God the eraser." Well, that's all we needed. So that was truly a God moment right there. God knew that we were going to have, he had a plan, that we were going to talk on plans already. Like, how awesome is that? So now, from the verse that Shona read to us just a moment ago, Proverbs 16, verses 3 to 4, clearly says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end." So there's that verse. But then a few verses later, in verse 9, it also says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." So the first point that I want to stress to you this morning is that God is not against human planning. It's sometimes thought that the verse that we read in Proverbs means that man proposes and God disposes, in the fact that whatever we plan in life, God completely overrules and just puts his will and just gets rid of our ideas. This verse in Proverbs stresses that this isn't true. It's merely the fact that we need God in, we need to depend on him and put him into our plans, and then we'll get success. And the prime example I have for this is my story of my journey to Moreland. Before coming to Moreland, I went to a grammar school, Kendrick Grammar School, for those of you from Reading. And as part of that, I was told that I needed to submit a UCAS form in my last year. I'd already started to wonder where on earth I should go, what I should do with my future. And this idea of Moreland had come up, but I also was interested in doing sociology at university. I decided that I would apply to both, and surely God would pick a way. He would pick one or the other. Looking back on it now, it was almost like I was trying to trick God and make him pick for me. It really didn't work. I believe that once I was accepted to Moreland, and once I'd got my offer from them, the university was out of the picture. And then God decided to let all my universities accept me and give me an offer. So I didn't know what to do. I was confronted with the situation where I had two paths I could go down, and God hadn't picked one. He hadn't clearly said, go down this one. This is the one that I want you to do. So I was stuck. And so I just committed myself to trying to work out God's will. And through it was nearly a year of my life that I was just praying to God and asking him which way to go, trying to make him choose for me. But in the end, he would always say, I will be with you either way you go. God didn't force a plan on me. He knew where I'd end up. He knew I would come to Moorlands and come here to Twynham and do my ministry here. But he didn't choose that for me. He didn't make the path in front of me and say, you have to go down this way. Instead, he waited for my devotion and my searching for his will, and he established my plans ahead of me. So that's the first point I want to stress. God doesn't hate planning. He doesn't hate if we have ideas for our future, if we have a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, whatever it is. He just merely wants to be part of the plan. And with that, success just comes in so much abundance. And the second point that I want to stress about God's plan is that he is sovereign over all, and he knows the plans he has for us. Now, in Fusion, the kids group we have here on a Sunday, we played a game once where all the leaders laid out an obstacle course in the Fun Factory while the children were blindfolded. And we told them they had to get to the other side of the room without bumping into anything. As you can imagine, it didn't turn out that way. They were bumping into chairs, bumping into tables, not really knowing where they were going, and they couldn't get to the other side. And then we decided to bring them back to one side of the room, and we took off the blindfolds of half the children and told them that they could lead the other children. This was a lot easier for them. So I'm not going to blindfold you all and make you try this out, but what can we learn from that? Well, I believe that the children who could see the obstacles are a fine example of what God sees with regards to each of our lives. He sees the road ahead, and he guides us along it. He knows what is in front of us, what we might bump into, and he leads us and makes us weave between the obstacles. We just have to listen to him. He will guide us through the good and the bad in our journey. And he'll get us to the goal that he has in mind for each of us. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, what this verse means, it doesn't mean that we're not going to hit hard spots in our journey. And it doesn't mean that everything will be great. But it does mean that God has a plan and knows our path ahead of us, despite all the bad things that could happen. My sister Lydia is a prime example of this. My sister loves writing, and as such, she started a blog many years ago that she writes various thoughts on and musings. And one extract I found really striking regarding this topic. This is how it goes. "For the last 10 years, I've been blessed by the annual Hartwell family expedition to Tuscany. Strangely, as it's only really 2 weeks I've spent here each year, I feel like I've watched myself grow up on this campsite, from the barely teenage stage of 14 to the perhaps more awkward nearly mid-20s age of 23. Usually, Anna, that's me, and I coin a phrase that we shout at the top of our voices at random points in the holiday, as if to exhibit that maturity I was just alluding to. Last year, our catchphrase was, 'Next year, everything changes.' We didn't think that I'd be coming back here, and so that was our way of expressing the culmination of 9 years of holiday memories. But here I am. So what happened? Oddly enough, everything did change, and certainly not in the way I had planned or envisioned. From last September, this academic year has been the hardest of my entire life, and God has taught me the meaning of perseverance in a new, gut-wrenching way. What I realized the other day, however, is that whilst my world has been turned upside down, This year wasn't a surprise for God. He knew where he's been leading me since before I was born. A humbling, beautiful, and scary thought. We serve a God who knows what he is doing. Everything in our life will change. People will fail us, we will get older, culture will continue to evolve and develop around us. We will get tired, exhausted, broken and frustrated from the trials and temptations we face. We most likely meet heartbreak, job loss, bereavement, illness. Circumstances are so fickle, but God does not change, and this simple fact changes everything. Now, I absolutely love my sister, and her writing is such an inspiration to me. And the context of this blog post was that 3 years ago, my sister was in the final year of her degree, actually at Moorlands as well, and she was engaged. But this engagement ended abruptly at the Christmas period in her last year. And it was an absolute shock and surprise, and it happened so fast. And then it was done. And my sister was in just a place of absolute chaos, trying to finish a degree that was very crazy because she was in her last year, with a broken heart and with all the craziness that came along with that. But God brought her through that. He helped her to finish the degree. She got an amazing score in her last year. He took her to an internship where she worked 2 years in a church. And she got a different husband from that. She recently got married a few months ago. And he brought her to a new, incredible relationship with him. And that was despite all the hardships, despite all the craziness, despite the walking along a path and hitting an obstacle. He guided her through it. He didn't make her go round. He didn't stop her journey there. He guided her through it, despite all the craziness. Now, God has known since birth where he's leading us. He's had a plan all along. He carries us through the good times and the bad times and guides us even if we step off the path or try to take a different route. So coming to the end of my section this morning, I just want to remind you that God is not against human planning. But he wants to be involved, so please, just involve him in your plans, because he wants to establish them. He may make a few changes and edit the ultimate end of the journey, but that's why you should write your plans in pencil and give him the eraser. God knows where he's taking you, but are you ready to be taken there?
Our second reading is from Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil.
Morning. So, I'm talking about, are we ready for God's opportunities? I heard a sermon about God opportunities a few weeks ago, and it just really struck something in me about the past few years of my life have been an interesting few, and opportunities have come up that I believe are God opportunities in my life because of the way that they've come about. So, in the passage that Josh just read, we're being told to be careful how we live our lives. We need to make sure that we are not unwise, but wise. We need to be reading this point that affirms the ideas as believers of Christ that we are set apart from the unwise. The unwise do not know who God is, but the wise do know who God is. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." How we exercise and train this wisdom by making the most of every opportunity. To be wise means having or showing experience, knowledge, and good judgment, sensible or prudent, having knowledge in a specified subject. Lloyd James says, if we humble ourselves before God's word and seek him, we will become wise. We need to humble ourselves before God. This means you need to put yourself below something. This means we need to decrease so that God can increase. To put God in his rightful place. One way of doing this is prayer. We need to be praying to him about everything that's going on in our lives. We need to make sure that we are investing in our prayer life, so to make sure that we are always in constant communication with God about all things good and bad. We need to acknowledge that we cannot do anything without God. This means we need to submit to God in prayer so that we can exercise humility. The more we invest in our prayer life, the more this will help us to make sure that we are making our heart right before God. When you pray to God, we need to be giving all the bad things that clutter our lives so that God can take these things away from us. God is big enough to take these things away from us. If we're constantly carrying these things around with us, then we're not going to have room for the good things that God wants us to be carrying around. In the past few weeks at college, we have a student council, and one of the teams is the pastoral team. And I've had the great pleasure of leading the team this year, which I'm really excited about. But when I reflected on this, to me it was a God opportunity because of events that have happened in my life. And over the summer, I gave up a lot of pastoral responsibilities at my home church that I'd been holding on to for an awful long time, and I just didn't want to put them down. And that was really hard, and I've spent a lot of time in prayer and talking to people in God's word, just every day giving those things over to God and letting go, because I knew I couldn't take a step forward if I hadn't let go. And out of that, I now have this opportunity of leading a team at Moorlands, which I'm so excited about. By working on these things, it's given me a lot of peace as well, and I think clarity and I hope wisdom for the year ahead leading the team. But another thing that we need to do is we need to make sure that we're spending time in God's word. As we spend time in God's word, we'll be able to gain wisdom and understanding in situations that we face and be able to know how to navigate all different situations that we may come across, to be able to know that no matter what God puts in front of us, he will give us that wisdom and support and guidance to navigate those situations. By spending time in God's word, we'll also be able to biblically assess times in our lives. Also, spending time in God's word will mean we are able to have our heart, minds and ears open to what God wants to say to us, to where he wants to lead us. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I really feel that we need to be making sure that we're letting God guide us in every step that we're in. Richard Phillips says, wisdom being, Paul says, but rightly understanding the days in which we live, and wisdom proceeds by being careful about the manner of our walk, that is, about the kind of lifestyle we lead. James M. Boyce writes, you're never going to make any true progression in wisdom unless you begin to realize that this world is hostile to God and opposed in desires of godliness on the part of God's people. But us having wisdom and learning that wisdom from God and having it help us in different situations we find ourselves in, as Christians and non-Christians, will mean we'll be able to witness to those who don't know God. Proverbs 10:8 says, "The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin." We need to be wise because we want to be able to receive commands from God. An example of someone who walked wisely was Noah. Genesis 7:5 says, "Noah did all the Lord had commanded him." Noah shows us that when you listen to God and when you gain wisdom from God, you will be able to walk wisely through life and be able to be obedient to God's teachings and commandments. This shows us what it means to walk wisely, to observe and govern our lives, to walk in careful obedience and teachings in the Bible. John MacArthur says, "Outside of purposeful obedience of God's word, the most spiritually foolish thing a Christian can do is waste time and opportunity or fritter away his life in trivia and half-hearted service to God. To make sure we're getting ready for the opportunities that God will bring us means we need to not be wasting time doing things not pleasing to God. We need to be picking up our Bibles and spending time in God's word." To bring this all together, I have an illustration. Imagine walking into a room full of clutter and you're looking for a priceless object, something that you just can't live without, you don't want to lose, it's so important to you. It becomes hard to see things with all the clutter that's around you and find that one object. You may even trip or stumble over things left on the floor. Don't miss finding what God has for you because of the clutter that may be surrounding you in life. In prayer, devote yourself to discovering the things God has for your life. Open up His word and use scripture to light your path. Research shows that the more you spend time with someone, the more you become like them. Spend time with Jesus, become more like Jesus, and wisdom will come with that. Thank you.